Hello, I'm Cindy Suarez, Editor-in-Chief at Nonprofit Quarterly. Thanks for joining me for another episode in my podcast series, Women of Color in Power. I talk to women of color who are leaders in civil society to learn more about what drives them, what challenges they've overcome, and in doing so, perhaps learn more about the different ways that women of color lead.
My name is Grace Martinez Rosas. I use she, her, ella pronouns. My friends and homies call me G, and I am undocumented, unafraid, queer, and unashamed, and have the absolute honor to lead United We Dream and United We Dream Action as executive director.
United We Dream is the largest immigrant youth-led network in the country. It's an organization created by and for people just like Grace.
I came out as undocumented and unafraid in 2006 when I was a senior in high school. And for the first time in that moment in time, I decided that I could no longer bear to stay in the shadows and to not speak out on behalf of my family. And as a college freshman the next year, I just remember hearing about the DREAM Act, and someone called me and invited me to come to Washington, D.C. in 2010 to fight for the DREAM Act in D.C.
That year in Washington, D.C. changed Grace's path.
To be honest with you, Cindy, I thought I was just going to come in. I was going to fight for my rights, talk to some senators. We were going to pass a bill, and I was going to go back to like my plan of being a doctor in Texas. But it didn't come that way. And in my time here in D.C., I met young people who had founded United We Dream, like Cristina Jimenez, like Julieta Garibay, like Walter Barrientos, Jose Marantes, and many others. And they created such a beautiful space where queer people were able to come out as queer. I'd never seen that as like the daughter of Southern Baptist preachers. It was something that was like a total shift for me to see queerness be elevated and celebrated in this space. I met undocumented people that felt exactly what I felt like to, you know, some trivial things like going to the club as undocumented and not having your ID, like, or what it felt like to not be able to know whether you would be able to go to college because of your undocumented status. And so I became one of the affiliate leaders at United We Dream, and I just fell in love. And part of my journey was then to come on board as staff in 2012. I've grown up at United We Dream. I've eventually was able to have the strength and the support to come out as queer myself within the walls of this movement that we call United We Dream. And I just feel like I have been transformed as much as like this movement has transformed the lives of millions of people.
And just last year, Grace took over leadership of United We Dream from its founding executive director, Cristina Jimenez. She says her ascension to leadership was organic. She was in a movement full of organizers who all had their eyes on the next horizon.
As organizers, we are always ensuring that we're organizing ourselves out of a job and that we're building others around us to ensure that like the work continues because it's broader than one person. So I think that there wasn't a decision that was had that like I would be the director, but it was a lot of investment from Cristina, from the leadership, from the board, many opportunities that which I was given to like really learn and stretch in moments where, to be honest, as like a young woman of color, particularly doing work here in DC, there was a lot of moments of uncertainty and of self-doubt. But when Cristina made it clear internally that she was preparing and thinking about transition, I think that one, the thoughtfulness in which she did that and ensuring that there was clarity about the timeline, showing like the type of leadership that we all want, like we've been talking about for years, that one position is not yours forever, that you're wanting to ensure that others come. And so I remember she had like a good organizer, a one-on-one with me and probably with others to say, like, I think that you should think about taking on this role. And like, the years of work that I've done on myself to really believe in my bones that this is the best offering that I can give to the movement, to myself, to United We Dream as an institution, to say yes to this responsibility, to this opportunity. And it was both a multi-year effort of opportunities. It was one-on-ones and deep relationship building. And it was my own understanding and like love for myself that I said yes to this role.
Just wanted you to spell that out. That's great. Thank you. You are originally from Hidalgo, Mexico, and you immigrated to the U.S. with your family at the age of 8 and grew up in Dallas, Texas as an undocumented immigrant. Your father was deported for driving without a license. You were in high school at the time, and you went on to attend Texas A&M University and founded the first undocumented student group on campus. I read in a Bitch Media article that your mother died a few years ago, quote, undocumented and without access to the health care she deserved because of her status. How has your personal experience shaped your leadership?
At United We Dream, we believe that those most directly impacted, those that feel the pain and the struggle in their bones, are also closest to the solutions, the innovations, and the breakthroughs. And that's no different in my life. I think that part of the reason why I feel so called to do this work is because of my love for my family. My father and my mother risked their lives to ensure that like my sisters and I had an opportunity to survive. And they also risked their lives because they had faith that this country would welcome them and that it would be a place where we could thrive and survive and be accepted. And in a lot of ways, they were correct. In a lot of ways, there was a miscalculation because the American dream that some folks have promised was not accessible, and is not accessible to Black people, even those that have citizenship or undocumented people like myself. And you see that in my mother's story. She gave herself to her family. She gave herself to our education. And when it was time for the healthcare system to help her treat her cancer, her lymphoma, they didn't show up. And sometimes we didn't have money for the medication. And she died in the U.S. with this hope that one day she would have papers, and it never happened. And so when I think about this moment that we're in, where we have overthrown a, like, avowed white nationalist from the White House, where we see an opportunity for a Biden administration to not have my mother's story repeat itself a million times over by ensuring that there's citizenship and opportunities. Like, for me, it just makes it that much more urgent and that much more clear that what we are doing is demanding exactly what we deserve. And like, not only undocumented immigrants, but the whole country deserves to have access to healthcare, to housing, deserves to die in a place that like you feel seen and understood, and not and from a place of never being able to feel what it's like to drive without a license and not be scared. So I think for me, it's fundamental. My experiences shape who I am and how I show up. And, you know, in a lot of ways, they also help sharpen my strategy and make connections that may elude others, because I have felt it in my bones how these systems work. And it ensures that I am also bringing emotional intelligence into sometimes strategic spaces that sometimes force us to just live in our minds. I'm able to bridge both worlds. And my story is not unique. It happens millions of times every year, and it's representative of the stories of the members of United We Dream. And that is why we make possible wins tangible and systemic change a reality. And that's what we do.
I love the Bitch Media article because it shows another side of the work, the part that sustains us, which often comes from culture and the arts. Last year, I launched Edge Leadership at MPQ in response to leaders of color in the field requests for a space for liberatory thinking and design. And one of the first conversations we hosted was about the civic infrastructure needed to truly support leaders of color. One of the four main aspects of the infrastructure they outlined is space to replenish. Can you tell us more about what replenishes you?
I love that. I'll say there are two things that when I feel like my soul and my body like need replenishment that I go to. The first thing is community, whether that's being able to chant with like the United We Dream members outside, or whether it is sharing a meal or sharing an experience together. I think being really grounded with folks around me is important, particularly as I'm coming into this executive director role. Cindy, I'll say that one of the things that I've heard from the other women of color in the space, and they have lead similar work, is that sometimes it feels really lonely. And it also feels like more is required of Black and brown and queer women in leadership than in other instances. And so really leaning into community and the joy that brings. And then the second one I'll say that replenishes me is my faith. And, you know, I'm no longer a Southern Baptist because of many reasons, but there is this verse that like my dad taught us that like faith is this certainty in the things unseen. Mm-hmm. That's what's at the core of being an organizer. That's what's at the core of being an activist, of being like a institution builder, that you are building for the long arc of the work, that you may not see what comes ahead. I remember speaking to some of the elders of the civil rights movement. We went down to Georgia to have a conversation with them, and they said, Graysa, the work that you will do in the years ahead will be necessary but not sufficient. And in that moment, I just kind of felt like it just hit me, like, what do you mean not sufficient? Like, this is all this work that we're doing. But now, years later, and after having helped build United We Dream for the last 8 years alongside Christina and many others, I get that. Like, we're doing the long arc of the work, and like my job right here, right now, is to create the conditions for like breakthrough policy change wherever we see the cracks, to build the infrastructure for other young people, young queer people, young Black and brown folks, women to lead us, and for us to create the conditions for those people to be more successful than we have been. So the work that we're doing right now is necessary, but not sufficient in the long arc. And I just feel like that's what replenishes me, the faith that we will win. Like, we've already won. Ash Henderson is a close friend that leads within the Movement for Black Lives ecosystem. She always reminds me that, like, we've already won. It's just a matter of time.
What do you mean? Can you say more about that?
Yeah, I mean, in the past, the story of Carmelita Torres, who was, like, this young teenager, like, coming from Mexico into the U.S., and one day she refused these baths that the U.S. government would give to farm workers that would come across the border. And she started the bath riots, and where she ensured that like Mexican workers were not treated in that way. And I think when I say that we've already won is that when she started the bath riots and refused to be treated in that way, she knew that like we were pushing back against the system that treats us unfairly because of the color of our skin. And I just feel like in the work that I'm doing right now, I am an embodiment of this idea that we've already won. Like, I have been transformed by this work. Had it not been by this movement and by the people and the women surrounding me, I would never have been able to say that I was undocumented and unafraid and queer and unashamed. And that's a victory already. And the fact that we have built United We Dream to be the nation's largest immigrant youth-led network and is like leading the work of ensuring that we see racial justice as an immigrant justice issue, we've already won. And the work of like politicizing young people and ensuring that 16-year-olds don't feel powerless but powerful and like see their role in shaping our democracy, we've already won. Part of what grounds me is this faith of the things unseen and this discipline of hope that has been planted in the seed by my parents and their sacrifice and watered by our elders like Carmelita, like Christina, like you, that I didn't even know like the role that you had in helping shape the infrastructure. It's just we've already won, and I am honored to help us move this work forward.
I love that. We've already won. And I love the discipline of hope. I always think of freedom as a discipline, liberation as a practice. Part of what I'm hearing in your story, and I was even struck by this with Christina, because unless I have it wrong, she moved on after like 5 years, right, of being there?
No, it was more like 10. She was executive director for 5 years, but as founder, like 5 before that.
Yeah, I guess for me, I just really want to highlight that, because I think that in our sector, that's very unusual, right? People stay in roles for a really long time, and then it's always considered a challenge to transition and a crisis moment oftentimes in organizations. So I come from organizing as well, and a lot of people don't know that in organizing it's different, that people actually plan for the next person that comes behind them to have more and to be able to do more. So I just wanted to highlight that. So when you leave United We Dream, what do you hope has changed there? What would it look like if you are successful?
My offering to United We Dream in the movement is threefold. The first one is that there'll be someone ready to take on my role and like will have the support and the systems around them, just like I did when I took on this role, so that I will know that I will have done my job if a group of people actually are ready to transition into leadership. Because what we've learned and what we know is true is that because our movement is so organic and our work is organic in and of itself, when one thing shifts, everything else shifts. And so it's important to look beyond just that one particular role into like how the ecosystem changes. The second one is that it would be more real. We will move from some of the framework and like narrative to ensuring that it is more real in our programmatic work, in our organizing work, that immigrant justice is a part of racial justice, and that we need to not only talk about it that way, but we need to fight the campaigns and shape the work and like our narratives with an understanding that it's not because someone forgot to pass immigration reform in the last 35 years that we haven't won. Is that it is inherently an issue of racial, gender, and economic justice that allows for the wealthy to have cheap labor on the backs of undocumented people. And so what I will be offering to the movement is like even a more truer and like a clear understanding of that shows up in our everyday in our work. And then the third thing I'll say is that we see ourselves as an incubator, as a training ground for more and more people to go out into the world with this understanding that those closest to the pain are closest to the solutions and innovation. So you would see a lot of the United We Dream leadership through my term and the ones after go into other sectors of our work, other sectors of society to bring that DNA into that work. So that will be my three offerings to the movement, that there are clear leadership pipelines that we see in our work, that racial justice is immigrant justice, and that there'll be people at the ready to take on the work moving forward.
So if you and I talk 5 years from now, what do you hope is different for women of color in power in general? One of the things that I heard you say, which I find it really great and interesting, is that you had the support that you needed to transition. You had people encouraging you, developing you, giving you opportunities, helping you stretch. That's amazing. And it's not something that a lot of women of color have. But I'd love to hear, you know, what do you hope is different for women of color in power in 5 years?
Okay. So I think that the first one is that philanthropy is able to make long-term investments that are flexible and allow for women of color to lead in a way that is most authentic and most organic in their way, and allowing them the spaciousness to make those decisions. The second thing is ensuring that there are even more ecosystems and people that are able to speak to the experience of women of color in leadership. And by that, I mean, part of the community that surrounds me at this moment are women like Ingrid Benedict that have been holding United We Dream's transition plan that has spanned over a year, because we know that transition is not just, you know, when you make the announcement, it's like a whole culture shift that you have to hold people together, that will have more executive coaches like Helen Kim, that's my coach right now, and that like really understands what it's like to be a woman of color and like is able to help support me in this work. So there's like a whole ecosystems that need to be strengthened to ensure like the success of other women, and that I'm committed to ensuring that like I'm supporting in that growth. The third thing I'll say is that more women of color know that they are worthy and that they can do this. Because I think a lot of the times this fear that I felt, and sometimes still in this role, I can be honest with myself and you and the folks listening, that I still feel like, wait, am I the right person to be leading in this moment? And so in 5 years, then more and more women, when they ask themselves that question, they could be surrounded with a hell yes around them even more. Mm-hmm. And then I said the fourth one is that in 5 years, ensuring that we are able to see in place public policy that really invests in making the lives of Black and Brown people better. Because I think that part of my story and part of the story of many other women is that we were invested in by some of our educators and teachers in school, that we had the ability to go to a doctor and like have the health to be able to do this work, that we had access to mental health services and able to do that. And so public policy needs to ensure that if we want more women in leadership, that we need to make the changes that we need to. We need to win citizenship. We need to ensure that Black women continue to live in this country without the threat of death when they're giving birth or walking in the streets. We need to make sure that like working class women have access to care for their families. So I think that that also needs to be public policy.
You brought up Ingrid Benedict, and you know, I worked with her when I was working with the Movement for Black Lives. She brought me in, and I remember she also brought me in to work with Christina to develop the membership model that you guys use. So it's great to hear her name brought up again, because there's always people like that behind the scenes that are really connected to a lot of movements and that really support and play these boards on roles. So I was just smiling as I heard you say her name.
We need many, many more Ingrids, and we need like her magic in every space. So yeah, no, a big fan, big fan of Ingrid.
Yeah, and I love hearing you say you have a great coach. I think these are all things that that are very necessary. And so before we end, I just wanted to give you a chance to say anything else that you want to say that maybe you didn't get a chance to say.
I think that I'll say is around joy. People often ask me, like, what's the magic sauce of United We Dream? And like, what sort of brings out some of this magic that you all have? And what I know to be true is that it is through and through is joy, whether it is that we're sharing like the memes and the stories of what it means to be an immigrant in the US and like what it means to be children of immigrants in the US, or sharing like music. I think that this understanding that this work is hard. Organizing, and particularly from a trauma-informed space where young people are really leading the way, puts a lot of responsibility on young people, and ensuring that our systems and our programs and our strategies create space for joy and mental health and wellness is going to be especially important in the coming years to ensure that our work is strategic, that we build up our people, and that we don't increase the burnout rates, particularly as we're coming out of a pandemic. So taking time for transitions, taking time for taking a beat and a breath, for joy, for sharing food, music, etc., and ensuring that like there's mental health and wellness and reclaiming our ancestral tools to be able to do that. It's part of the magic sauce at United We Dream. It's part of what ensures that our organizing is trauma-informed and that is sharp in terms of strategy.
Well, thank you so much. Everything that you're saying is so right on, and it resonates with everything we've been hearing at MPQ and EDGE from leaders of color in the field. I love that you are moving forward and doing all this amazing work. And I love hearing the details of how you do it, because it's great to hear how other groups build culture and what people of color, what leaders of color make important.
That was Gracia Martinez, Executive Director of United We Dream. Thank you for listening. I'll be back with another conversation about women of color and power soon.